We look to you. We ask that you'd open your word to us tonight, that you'd speak to us. Fill us afresh, Lord, how we need you. Every day is so different, and every day is such a burden sometimes. But we know that you want to lift those burdens. You want to carry those burdens for us. So, Father, may we have your heart as we come in tonight, just to seek your word, to seek your heart, to know your ways. Speak to us, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 4. Last chapter, remember, he answered some questions or put forth some questions that he knew would come, and he put forth four of those, and there's a fifth one here in chapter 4 that he goes through, and it's really about the gospel. Does the gospel agree with the Old Testament? yes, it does. and he goes into great detail with it, but it certainly is a good chapter for us. And he says, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, is pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. You can glory in your works, but not before God, because it's his work that's done. In that word justified, you know, means just as if you haven't sinned. But he says if Abraham were justified by works, and there's such an argument about that. Do we get in by our works or do we get in by faith? We know that Scripture says we're saved by grace through faith. We know that that's the way it is. And then you go to James and he talks about the works, and there's such a contradiction in some folks' minds, not in God's mind, and certainly not in our heart. We're saved by faith, and works is just going to be a result of what that faith does. And there's a great scriptures in Genesis, since we're in Genesis on Sunday mornings talking about it, with Abraham, that he was saved by faith. He was saved before the law was even given. Years and years before the law was even given, it said that it was counted unto him as righteousness because he believed God. And then we see the example that James comes to, that he wants to see the works because it just proves the faith that's already there. Because in chapter 22, we know that it was counted unto him for righteousness in chapter 15. But in chapter 22, what does he do? He takes his son up to offer him to the Lord. And this was a work that he was doing. This was something that he was doing for the Lord and in the name of the Lord, and with the prompting of the Lord. But it just proved where his faith was, because he was just giving everything back to the Lord that the Lord had already given to him. And so his faith was proven by his works, and it pleased the Lord. So there's not a contradiction. There's not anything in there that comes against one or the other. It's just a complement of both. What was that word, Wade? The first one? MacGuffin? MacGuffin. I'm not even going to try and keep up. But this is just leading into something else, the faith bringing in the works. If Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. And it tells us this in Ephesians chapter 2. As we look at that, as we see what God has in the midst of that, in Ephesians 2:19, it says this, if I can find my place here. 2:19, it says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and were built on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, Jesus Christ being himself. It's just a picture that before God we're open, we're naked, we're emptied. We're completely given over to the things of the Lord. We're strangers here. We're pilgrims here. We belong to God. We're going to God. We're in that direction. We're walking towards that heavenly kingdom. I just wish it would come sooner than later, but especially the way the world is going. But we don't glory before God in anything. We're just strangers here going to our home. and our home is with our Father in heaven. It's not here. This is not our home. And I'm so thankful that this isn't my last stop. It would be awful if Christianity led to the end just being death and that was it. Oh, there's so much more for us, and there's so much more in the Word for us. There's so much more in the truth for us to have. And Paul certainly bringing that out to the people that were there, writing to the church at Rome. Remember, he hasn't been there yet. He's going to end up there, but he hasn't been to the church at Rome, but he knows the people's names. He's writing to the church to encourage them, and certainly it's an encouragement for us that we're going in the right direction. You don't have to work, because remember what it says in the Gospel of John. This is the work that you must do. You must believe on the one whom he has sent. We believe on him. That's the work that we do. And so many churches want you to work your way to heaven, want you to work your way up the ladder in church, want you to work your way through this life. And he says, I want you to rest. I want you to rest with me and enter into that yoke with me and just let me carry that burden that you have. Let me carry those things that you have gotten on your heart to be such a burden and such an obstacle. And he says, just let me carry those things and let me be the one who brings you through to the promised land. And oh, how we need to hear that. In America especially, in the rest of the world, it just seems to be falling apart so quickly. And yet everything is coming together as far as the Lord is concerned. It's not falling apart. It's just coming together in the right way, in the right direction, at the right time. This is God's perfect time. For such a time as this, we're here. Okay, Lord, what do? I believe you. I trust you. I walk with you. That's our job. And boy, what a sweetness that is, that we don't have to make up the program. We don't have to set up the protocol. We don't have to write up the rules and regulations. He's already given us everything that we need for life and godliness. And so we trust him with it. And thank you, Lord, that we don't have to go through it. And we don't have to change people, because we can't. God is the God of salvation. We're to minister his love to them, but he's the one that brings salvation. Because if we can change somebody's mind into believing in God, then somebody else is going to be out there changing their mind not to believe in God. Because we're so fickle. Just depends on the day and the moment and the hour and the conditions. But his ways are permanent, impressed forever. And I'm just so thankful for that. So if Abraham was justified just as if he didn't sin, he could glory in his works, but not before God. And he goes on and he says, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God. And that's from Genesis 15:6. So he's the one that believed God. And remember, this was years and years and years before the law was even given. It was over 400 years before the law was given that it was counted unto him for righteousness. So he couldn't follow the law that was there. He couldn't be justified by the law because the law wasn't given. And what did the Jews always say to Jesus? Abraham's our father. He says, well, if Abraham's your father, then why aren't you believing by faith? And we go, oh, you don't have to work it. You just believe it, you trust it, and you let him change you. Ugh. Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him. That word really is reckoned or imputed. We're going to see that word I imputed used 11 times in this book. It's an important one. It just means that it was counted on our account. It's an accounting term just used to be put on the positive side, on the plus side. It's imputed to you. It's given to you. It's like a check that you get and you deposit it in the bank and it's counted for a plus side. It gets you out of the red. And that's the only thing that we can have put on there, because our works don't put anything on there. It's just his grace, his mercy. Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. It's a debt that we have to try and pay, and so many are trying to pay their way into heaven and trying to get in that place where they're counted into heaven because of their good works, because of who they are. And the Lord says, no, that can't happen. In Galatians 3, verses 6 through 9, it says this, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Remember, Scripture tells us that Abraham is the father of all those that believe. That's you and I. We're in the same group with Abraham. We're in that place with him. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, those that didn't believe, that came to believe, he would justify them. There's that word again, justify, just as if they hadn't sinned. And notice it says, justify the heathen. How do you justify the heathen? Only God does that. Justifying the heathen, preaching before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. He gave the gospel to Abraham, the good news. So for the Jews that were saying the good news, the gospel, is a New Testament thing, it doesn't agree with the Old Testament, they're wrong. The good news is in the Old Testament just as much as it is in the New Testament. In Genesis chapter 3, the Lord just ministering in that place to Adam and Eve and to Satan, telling Satan, you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to squash you, buddy. That's paraphrased, of course. I don't know what translation that was, but I don't think it was King James. But already the good news is there that his heel is going to be bruised, but he's going to be okay, and everything is going to come to pass, and he's going to take care of sin and Satan, the devil, all the things that have been brought into that place. The Lord is going to take care of it. That's good news, not only for Adam and Eve, but for you and I. And that good news continues all the way through Scripture. And I'm so thankful that this Bible is full of good news. I don't know if you've listened to the news lately, but there's not too much good news. They try and throw in one every once in a while just to make you feel better. You know, like they let five Americans free from Iran. That was good news. Trouble is, we paid $6 billion for it. There wasn't much good news about that. Let's just encourage terrorism a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was your political part for tonight. And then he finishes up in verse 9 and says, so they then which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. If you're of faith, you're blessed. You are a blessed people. You're more blessed than the people in the world because you have a relationship with the living God. And it doesn't get any richer than that. That is all the riches we need. So he goes on then in verse 5 here, and he says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, again, John 6:29, believe on him who he has sent, but believeth on him that justifieth. Jesus is the one that comes and justifies us because of his work on the cross, his death and his resurrection, his blood covering, everything that he's done for us. Gives us that hope of heaven, justifies us before God, brings us to that place where we know our eternal home is with him. And it's an eternal security that we have. Because so many people hope that they're going to heaven. You can know, it tells us in 1 John that you can know that you're going to heaven. You can know that there's a Savior who's given his life for you and paid the price for you. And it's eternal. It's written in the heavenlies. It's written in the book of the Lamb. It's written on those pages. Your name is there if you've trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Trusted in his blood to cover your sin. Trusted in his love to cover you and to bring you home to heaven. But to him that worketh not, there's no work in that. It's all grace. Can you imagine? This book, which is so given over to the things of the law, has so much grace in it. Chuck Smith wrote the commentary on the gospel of Romans. He says it's the gospel of grace because there is so much grace in this book. Even though it points to the law and talks about the law and that we're all sinners and we've come short of the glory of God, but it's all of grace. It's all a work of grace. And as you look at it, you can just rejoice. Yes, we've come short of the glory of God. Yes, we're all sinners. But by his grace and his love, we now have an eternity in heaven with our Father, with the one who's paid the price for us, with our Jesus. Oh. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness, or imputed again. His faith is counted for righteousness. His faith, just like Abraham's faith, your faith is counted for righteousness. Your trust in who God is. Isn't that encouraging? That you don't have to work it. You don't have to be something. You're already something. God already made you to be somebody, the one that you are. He just wants to change your heart. And boy, the encouragement is there for us more and more just to let him do that. Lord, please change my heart. We were praying before service and just looking at our hearts and just seeing all the stuff that's still there, all the stuff that rises up with the situations that come to us during the day. In realizing, Lord, you still got a work to do in this heart. There's still stuff there. But be encouraged. He wants to, and he's going to. Be encouraged in that, because what does he say? He's going to complete the good work that he's begun. And that good work is changing you and outfitting you for heaven. Hallelujah. And all we have to do is just submit. And it's easy for us to submit, right? Why are you all shaking your head? Okay, maybe it's not easy. But just to believe him. And if you're in a place where you're down, whether you're discouraged, whether you're despondent over the way things are going, be encouraged, because heaven is coming. And you're going to be different than you are now. You're going to be complete in him, clothed with robes of righteousness, outfitted for heaven, and to be there for eternity, to rule and to reign with him. Ugh. So he says in verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. And notice it says without works in these two verses, verses 7 and 8, or from Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. And he says this, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He will not put sin into your account. Isn't that sweet? Oh, that is just so wonderful. And David, just seeing that, can you imagine as the Lord gives that to him to write down, inspires him by the Holy Spirit to write these things down as he writes them in the psalm, to just realize that all the sin that he had was going to be forgiven and the Lord wasn't going to impute sin to him. Oh, which means what? If he wasn't going to impute sin, then he was going to impute righteousness. Oh, and to realize that. Because we look at each other and we see how sinful each other is. We see how much stuff we carry that's awful. And yet to realize that one day you and I are all going to be free of that in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How encouraging can he get? Blessed is the man who knows that God is not going to impute sin to your account. You're blessed. We think, Lord, you're blessing everybody else, but you're not blessing me. Oh, yes, he is. He's keeping you alive. He's giving you breath. He's not imputing sin to you. He's blessing you with righteousness. And he goes on and he says in verse 9, cometh this blessedness then then upon the circumcision only, upon the Jews? So just bringing that back to them again. Or upon the uncircumcision also, so encouraging the Gentiles as well as the Jews. For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. There was no Jews when Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees. He just called a man. Was it of circumcision or uncircumcision? Because it was counted to righteousness for him in chapter 15. He didn't perform that circumcision on himself and the others in his family until chapter 17. So he did it even before circumcision started. Ah, so does this blessedness come upon the circumcision only or upon the uncircumcision also? It was reckoned to him for righteousness. And he says, how was it reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. There was no work that needed to be done for God's grace to be known by Abraham. There's no work that you need to do before God can pour out his grace upon your life. Because we hear people say, well, I'm not ready to pray and to have Jesus come into my life. I got to clean up myself first. You can't clean yourself up. You don't have enough soap. You don't have enough righteousness to get clean. The only cleanliness we get is from him washing us clean. You get washed in the water of the word. You get washed by the Spirit of God coming upon you. You get washed in the love of Jesus, and he cleans you. You don't have to do that work. He does it for you. We just allow him to. We still have that free will that's there to say yes, Lord, or no, Lord. And the encouragement certainly is, Lord, help me to say yes. Give me even the desire to say yes, to say no to sin, and to say yes to you. Ah. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised. That was a seal of the righteousness that was there for that, for him to be the people that would come. Because remember, God was just going to deal with a people group first. But then as the New Testament comes, he starts dealing with the Gentiles. And he says that he might be the father of all them that believe. All those that believe, he became the father of those. He became the one who was first, the eldest of us. Though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. You don't have to get circumcised to have righteousness given to you. Thank goodness we don't have to enter into that work, that we're free of that work. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but also walk in the steps that faith of our father Abraham, which he had yet being uncircumcised. We walk in that faith. And here he speaks of the activity of the believer. Because we're not just here just to get saved and to stay the same that we are till we get home to heaven. Certainly, there are people that do that, and they're saved. They trust in Jesus, but they miss the blessing of walking with the Lord while we're still here. We get the joy of having that fellowship and communion with our Father and with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit all the way through after we get saved till we get home to heaven. And that's a blessed walk. We don't stay as babes in Christ. We grow. We mature. We walk in truth, and it frees us from the bondage of sin that comes upon us by not walking in truth. Because if you're not walking in truth, you're walking in a lie. It's simple. But thank goodness, he gives us the strength to even walk. He gives us his Holy Spirit. He indwells us to encourage us to walk in faith. And then in verse 13, he goes on and he says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Just like our promise is, and we are the seed of him, if he is the father of us all, the seed that he has is those who believe. We don't get it through the law, but through the righteousness that is by faith. Can you imagine Martin Luther reading through this and just the light clicking as he was training to become a Catholic priest, as he reads Romans and realizes that he doesn't have to do all that stuff, that he can believe by faith and be a believer and go to heaven. Just the freedom that that brings. Because look at how much bondage we have upon us if we don't believe. You have the bondage of trying to work to be good, of trying to please people, of trying to please governments, is trying to please the God who we think demands the law to be our guide. We're free of that, and we're free to walk in Christ and to let him lead us. Oh, how sweet that is. He says, for if they which are of the law be heirs, then faith is made void. There's no faith in keeping the law. There's not one bit of faith in keeping the law. There's not grace. There's not faith It's just the law. Don't do this. Don't do that. Do this. Do that. Yuck. We get enough of that in our jobs, don't we? We get enough of that from our government. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is made of none effect. There is no promise in the law. There's just a promise of faith. For if, verse 15, because the law worketh wrath. Isn't that amazing? They want to keep the law, and they want to do it by works. And he says this, that it worketh wrath. If you got the King James, that ETH there, it means it's working wrath, and it continues to work wrath. And you look and you go, well, why is that? Because Jesus kept every part of the law, so how can it work wrath? Because we can't keep the whole law. And Scripture tells us if we've erred in one part of the law, then we've erred in every part, and there is no salvation. If you just one little white lie, because a white lie is still a lie, right? That's why they call it a lie. It doesn't matter if it's white, green, black, blue, orange. It's still a lie, and it's still wrong, and it's still sin before God, and he judges it. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, the gift that you and I get, is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Ugh. They're paying for it. We get it for free. And they're paying for death. Isn't that sad? Oh, because where the law, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. There's no sin because God has covered it. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, to all the seed, not just to some of them, not just to the Billy Grahams and the Franklin Grahams, but to the Harry Schmuckolas, to everybody. Everybody gets it, not just the big names, the no names, our names, that it might be sure. It's complete, it's effectual, it's to all of us, it's sure. You don't have to doubt that God is going to get you to heaven. If you've believed in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there's a surety in there that you're going to heaven. He says it's sure to all his seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but that to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. He repeats it again. And he says, as it is written, I have made, and he says this in Genesis again, I have made thee a father of many nations. Chapter 17 in Genesis, speaking to Abraham, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him who he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, and there's that ETH again, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Even if they don't look like it, one day they're going to be, and he calls it sure and right. And he's the one that does it, because we can't. Who against hope believed in hope. And there was no hope for Abraham, was there, that he could see? Because if there's faith that you can see, then it's not really faith. Because faith is that the substance of things hoped for, not yet seen. And they go, how can you believe in God that you can't see? How can you believe in a heaven that you don't know? Because my Bible tells me so. I've got a God that tells me, and my God says it's sure. And if he says it's sure, then I trust it. And if you're trusting him, then you're going to come to a place of trusting this. It's sure. It's a sure hope. Don't doubt it. If you come to that place that the enemy comes in and puts doubt in your heart, then just say, hey, God said I can be sure. So I'm going to be sure, even though there's doubts in my heart right now, I'm going to be sure that he says it's true, and he'll work that into your life so that it will become a surety and you won't have to doubt. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. He had no children. It was going to be years before he had that child, in that it came to be. He became the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. And who spoke it? God. God spoke it, and he believed it. Wow. Isn't that amazing? According to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. And being not weak in faith, which means there are going to be those who are weak in faith. And we have brothers and sisters who are weak in faith. And we're here to be encouragers and helpers for those who are weak in faith, for those who are young in faith, for those who are weak, they can't seem to get through. We're here to be encouragers and comforters and strengtheners of those folks, because he's the one that did it for us. And if he's done it for us, shouldn't we pass that on just as much as we pass on the good news that Jesus died for him? There comes the witness, and there comes the active walk of faith that we have for each other. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He didn't stagger. He could have looked in the mirror, if he had a mirror, and said, boy, am I old. You know, I've done that. You go to the mirror in the morning and you look and you go, who is that old guy sitting in the mirror looking back at me? That is awful. It's unbelievable. And yet he staggered not. Not a doubt. Can you imagine? Lord, give me that faith that I'm not going to stagger at any of your promises in unbelief. I don't want to walk in unbelief. I want to walk in belief and trust in who you are and what you've said, that it's right, that it's true, that it's real, and every part of it's for us. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. There was a strength in his faith. The Lord, and what does it say in Scripture? That the joy of the Lord is going to be our strength. The strength that he had was the joy of the Lord that was brought to him. I can't even imagine Abraham listening to God in Ur of the Chaldees, where everybody in the city is worshiping idols. Everybody in that area worshiping the moon gods, worshiping any kind of god and idol, and God calling and him saying, okay, I'll listen. Where did that come from? But you know what? Think about it. Who called you when you were dead in sin? Jesus. And you listened. And you think, I've got the same kind of faith that Abraham had. He called me out of the deadness of my sin. He called me out of a place where I was just worshiping idols. I was worshiping myself. I was worshiping alcohol. I was worshiping drugs. I was worshiping anything but God. And he called me and he gave me ears to hear. Isn't that amazing? And we think, well, God, you've never done a miracle in my life. If you're here, you're a miracle. Because you wouldn't be here if you were still dead. He's brought life to you. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, and he gave glory to God. By you coming, by you saying, yes, Lord, you gave glory to God. You didn't give glory to yourself. You didn't give glory to the people that brought that good news to you. You gave glory to God because he's the one that saves. Oh, Lord, I've never done anything to you wrong. You gave glory to God when he came to salvation. Oh, Lord, can I do more? Yeah. We can all do more. That's why we're here, to encourage, to strengthen, to keep building everybody else up, and to keep saying, come on, keep coming. Let's keep going. Don't stop in your walk with Jesus. If you're at a place where it's dead right now, then get freed up and start walking again with the Lord. He wants to walk with you. He hasn't left you. He hasn't forsaken you. He wants to walk with you. And if you feel like you've never hit a dead spot in your walk with the Lord, hang on, because you're going to. But he's going to be with you, and he's going to encourage you. And there's going to be brothers and sisters that say, will you come on? Just keep coming. Just keep walking. And in verse 21, it says, and being fully persuaded, and that's for you and I too. We need to be fully persuaded of who God is and what he's done and what he had promised. He was also able to perform it. Is God able to raise you from the dead and send you to heaven? Amen. Be fully persuaded that he is able. Because what does Scripture say? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is going to raise us from the dead. And if that power could raise Jesus from the dead, are you greater than Jesus and you need more power? Wrong. No. He's able to do it. He's able to perform that in your life, in my life. He's able to stop us from the sin that's before us, that besets us. He's able to change us. And therefore it was imputed, there's that word again, to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. That's you. Put your name in there. You're the also. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. That means when Paul was writing it, there was still people to come that faith was going to be imputed to, that sureness of God's resurrection was going to be imputed to, and that's you and I. That's us. Abraham had to look at it and believe the promise that was there before he even saw it. We get to look back on the promise that was already taken care of. The facts that are already there. We're just going by the facts. We're just going by the truth. Aren't you glad you have a truth that you can hang on to and trust and believe? Because there's so many that don't have any truth to believe in at all. We ran into a guy last night and was talking to him. And we heard him say to the people next to us, you know, God bless you. Just look, your ears perk right up, you know. You just, And he came over and we started talking to him. Well, where are you fellowshipping? Well, and as soon as you hear, well, you know, there's no fellowship going on. I just get on social media and I just get the verse for the day. Just, you need to be in the Word. You need to be reading. You need to be walking. And it was an encouragement for me. I need to be walking. Because if I'm not walking, how can I help somebody who's not walking? If I'm not believing and I'm not trusting that God is real, how can I tell somebody else that God is real? And if I'm still hanging on to sin and doing all the old stuff, how can I tell somebody else they need to change? I can't. But the truth is there. But it's for us also. To whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, and who was delivered, he was handed over for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. He was handed over for our offense, but look at what it says, but he was raised again for our righteousness. Ah, so not only did he take our offenses, but then he allowed the Lord to raise him again so that we could have righteousness. Ugh. And we think we owe Jesus nothing. Oh, Lord, show me how much. And he has, hasn't he? All of grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. What are we going to boast in? We can only boast in the Lord, our righteousness. So, Father, thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. Amazing what you've done for us, how you've kept us, how you've sustained us, how you continue to keep us. How you continue to show us how much we need you. How you continue to show us that you have more for us. Lord, if there's any place in our hearts and our lives that we're doubting, that we're not trusting, Lord, please reveal them so that we might have the fullness of your glory, that we might see the fullness of who you are, that we might be fully given over to you. You gave everything for us. Lord, may we give everything for you. We just thank you, Father. Thank you for the encouragement. What a chapter, Lord. Just unbelievable how you just continue to minister through your word that was written hundreds of years ago, and it's so fresh for today. Thank you for the encouragement in it, Lord, to just continue on as Abraham continued on all those years with no answer of the promise that was given to him, but he trusted each and every day. Lord, we see those promises and we trust them today, but tomorrow is such a hard day that we stop trusting. Lord, may we trust every day like Abraham trusted. And we know that it wasn't because of anything he did, it was all because of what you did. And so, Lord, may we have that same freshness of trust that Abraham had, that you gave him. And that we could trust the same ways today. We just thank you, Lord. Encourage us, strengthen us, be with us, Father, as we go through our days. that you'd be glorified in us. And we thank you for the salvation you've given us, that you were raised for our righteousness. Oh, thank you, Lord, that we have the sureness of that righteousness to come. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.